What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you live on Twitter for this Twitter Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
In case you guys don't know, we stream the show live every single Tuesday, usually around 1 p.m. Pacific. But
yeah,
hey, we're flexible. So stay tuned. That's at Locked On Clips. And if you're ever unable to watch the stream but you want to ask a question anyways, go ahead, shoot it over to at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We love to chat. We love talking clips.
Love talking those clips.
All day long. So basically, today is going to be a pretty loose format. We're going to be taking questions. Some people sent in some stuff ahead of time, which we appreciate.
Bunch of good stuff.
Thanks so much. And then we'll be taking questions as they come on the stream. The second segment is going to be mostly centered around roster kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking free agency. We're going to be talking who stays from the recent trades. And I'm going to be throwing out some weird lineups.
There's some good stuff on here.
Maybe some free agency kind of things. And then we're just going to wrap things up with some more questions. Might talk a little bit of kind of playoff stuff and some more trades.
Some spicy trade talk. So right now, we're going to some questions we got from our listeners. Thank you so much. The first one was from at Clipper Chiva. I think they have a couple more on here, too. They just want to ask, how proud are you of this Clippers team right now?
I'm so proud.
Unbelievably proud of this team.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple comebacks. We've had 2 30-point comebacks this year. One of them the biggest playoff comeback.
For sure.
Victory ever. We still have at least one game to play in this first round series.
At least one more.
At least one more. It's unbelievably proud. I think everyone watching the stream right now and listening couldn't agree more. This season went a million times better. I mean, the comeback was like the icing on a cake of a season that couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah. Agreed. Definitely. And we just laid groundwork for the future.
So much groundwork.
You know, we got to see what our vets can do. We got to experiment with a lot of different lineups. We had a lot of turnover, but stayed competitive.
Mm-hmm.
We got so many huge returns all season long. And then we've just really let our young guys, like, they've just become unleashed.
They're doing their thing. And I feel like we've seen Doc grow as a coach.
Definitely, definitely. And my biggest trepidation coming into this season was just how development for the young guys. And I mean, I think they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, we're getting a ton of people asking about Jerome Robinson on the stream right now. Fantastic for our next question from at Steve the Realist. With Jay Robinson looking pretty nice, should Doc put him out there with the second unit consistently tomorrow? First of all, great question, Steve the Realist.
That's interesting.
I'm pro that. Someone's talking a Gallo-Shamet trade for Beal. We're going to get to that in a few. But I really like the if Jerome's going to play as productively as he did in those 11 minutes,
yeah,
throw him out there.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
It was a surprise to everybody, but I think everyone was absolutely pleasantly surprised. How many minutes do you want him to play? He had 11 in game 4.
I think as a average, I mean, well, depending, if we only play one more game, I think seeing him at that 8-minute mark would be really, really solid.
Yeah, Matt Chong on the stream is saying, especially if Gallo isn't getting buckets, you might as well throw another shooter out in Jerome. For sure.
That's too small of a lineup. I think if we're not getting buckets, I'd rather see Green in there in Gallo's spot.
What if it's Gallo and Jerome?
Or Gallo and Jerome?
Yeah, on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, I guess I'm fine with that.
That'd be nice. I really hope Gallo's got to have fixed the situation before tomorrow, I hope. I just feel bad for him at this point. It's been a tough slump.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't come at a worse time, but.
Yeah, very true.
What are you going to do?
At Kangaroo Drew asked, this is a hopeful question. If the Clippers were in the bottom half of the bracket, do you agree that we make our first ever Western Conference Finals? I don't know, man. The team looks great. The team looks really good, but I don't know if we come out on top of either
Portland or Denver.
Yeah. Portland, Denver. I mean, we can throw all the teams that are currently right there right now. Portland, Denver, Spurs.
I like our odds still better with Denver.
I do too.
Really pretty bullish on that Portland matchup, but watching how well they've played even without Nurk, I don't know that we would win that. I don't know that we could put together 4 wins over that team.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be an easier path, absolutely, to the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, it'd be an easy, yeah. That's the easiest path to the Western Conference Finals, for sure.
That's a tough task to ask, though. I don't know if we're getting to the Western Conference Finals. Someone just asked on the live stream. Oh, this is a good take. I want the rookies to play most of the game tomorrow.
That's fair. Yeah.
I would like that too. Maybe not necessarily. I think it would be cool to see Shea, Jerome, Landry out there together, but that's a pretty small lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess not too much smaller with as they do with Shea, Landry, and Bev, but Bev brings so much more than Jerome does currently.
He plays big. So yeah, I think that's the big difference.
He absolutely does play big.
Chip City 20 asks, do you think next year we can expect Lou and Jerome as regular guards of the second unit? I would say depends.
Remains to be seen. I would absolutely love that.
I would love it if he was at that caliber. I think the question is Gallo having a shooting slump or is it just the Warriors' locked defense?
We'll get into that after this.
I'd love to unpack
that. A little both.
But I think it just depends on what we do in the offseason. Right now, I would argue that we maybe already have too many guards in the starting lineup.
For sure.
So you're probably going to have to slot one of those guys on the second unit. And at that point, the guard rotations are really already pretty full on the second unit. So I think that we're looking at Jerome probably in the third
spot.
Like
the 2.5 third spot guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be okay with that. It's also, this summer is going to be crucial for Jerome. He had the whole summer to, work out with us
before
the draft, which was huge. So hopefully we get to see some momentum built off of this last performance and what might happen tomorrow where he can just improve all summer. Because if he just gets a shot more consistent, he can get put up in those spot-up situations. Because Doc seems to like those for the young guys.
For sure.
He seems to, he throws Sundarius in for 0.9 seconds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If he can get that more consistent, that would go such a long way to helping him crack that 2 spot, I think.
Yeah. And, once again, I don't say that this is out of the realm of possibility, but I'm assuming, and, this is a big assumption, but if I were the front office, my two main targets for getting free agents would be someone at the forward position as a starter and also probably someone at the 5 as a starter. Mm.
So, if only there were some free agents who fit those roles.
If only.
Hey, Stephen A. Smith was giving the Clippers a shout out.
Somebody asked a really good question. What was it? On the stream. Oh, man.
Do we think someone asked if do we think Gallo is in a shooting slump or is it the Warriors locked down defense?
6 and 1, half dozen of the other.
Perfect storm.
Yeah.
A perfect storm of both happening at the wrong time. Shout out to someone on the live stream asking to see our ears. That's been a hot meme lately. It really just sucks.
KD's a great defender. Can't really take anything away from him there. Gallo has looked a little shook.
I don't know.
We've talked about this before on the pod, but I just think that there might be some greater fatigue issues than we have been privy to knowing about.
Yeah.
His demeanor seems a little bit different in the locker room, and I think that that has to do with, I just think that something isn't feeling right. And on top of that, he's, playing against the hardest defenders that he's had to face in a four or five-game stretch. So
yeah. And he's a shooter, so he's obviously frustrated things aren't going in.
Definitely.
That's got to be weighing on his mind. It's a shame that it's happening right now, given his injury history. Who's going to be the pay-by-play person on TV next year? I assume Brian. Yeah, it's probably going to be Brian Seaman and then
Don McLean, maybe.
Donnie Mack, man. Strap in for the Donnie Mack minutes.
Every time Gallo drives, he gets blocked. He should just shoot at this point. He might be hurting. Yeah, I do think that he's hurting. He hasn't looked great in the post either, which, one of the most efficient post scorers throughout the regular season, and it just has not looked the same. They've really taken away that aspect of his game, which is unfortunate because when the shots aren't falling,
that's his coach.
Yeah, that's always been something that he could kind of lay back on and get build up some confidence, and that'll help with the shooting as well.
And he's not getting these calls in the playoffs that he was getting in the regular season.
It feels like he shot maybe 2 per game.
Yeah, it's funny to see Gallo playing against a team that has true superstars and seeing what superstar calls are.
Definitely.
Because when it's just the Clippers versus a team that maybe doesn't have 3 superstars, he gets those calls because he's that guy. But now it's pretty obvious, what's getting called.
Somebody asked on the live stream, keep Gallo. I'm pretty firmly in the keep Gallo bandwagon. I don't know that there's a return out there that you can get that would be a significant upgrade.
Yeah.
Just to be perfectly honest.
One for one? Absolutely. Unless it's some weird package deal that someone would do with us. I don't know why they would trade 2 players for Gallo.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm not really even that interested in more picks. We already maybe have too many young guys that we need time to develop.
Yeah.
And I don't see someone offering a star for star swap unless it was another guy with kind of a troubled injury history. And the thing about Gallo is, like, after this season, that money comes off the books. So I don't know why we wouldn't just, like, stay the course.
Yeah, and also if they were going to do a swap for swap, it's like, so we're swapping out a four for either another four or another five.
Yeah.
So it's like we could just maybe sign a free agent and get something better.
Somebody proposed kind of a spicy one that would be Gallo for Steven Adams, which we will get to in our next segment.
Oh, yeah. So we're back with more Twitter questions. These are some specifically roster questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Matt Chonger, who's always on the stream. So this one is from at GJ82. Realistically, who's gone next year from this year's roster? It's hard to figure it out.
Because I'm
looking at the list, and it's like, all these guys seem keepable.
I do not think Temple will be back.
I think Temple and Chandler are my top two probably gones.
Temple and who?
Chandler.
Oh, yeah. Chandler, tough to say, too. It does seem like Doc likes him.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
But those two would be the two that I would guess are probably not coming back. Once again, though, this all depends on what happens in free agency. Because
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you still do have to field a roster with 15 dudes. That's a fact. So we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. But if I was guessing, I would say that those two are probably on the precipice of being out.
Yeah, Jermichael Green fully needs to stay.
Yeah.
Absolutely needs to stay.
Yeah, I think
he's untouchable.
Yeah, I think we do what we got to do to get to lock up Green. I like G Temp. He's been a good vet to have at the end of the bench. I agree, and I'm not saying anything against him. And when he's really locked in, he's played some solid defense. He's not a reliable scorer, which I guess you could argue, you know, we already have a great scoring bench. So I see what you're saying there, and I do think that he is good. Just the inconsistencies, I guess it just depends on what his asking price is and what else is out there.
It's hard to view him, too, because I think he plays really well within the team, but he's not necessarily an individual guy. So I think when you don't play as well individually, those shortcomings come out easier to people who watch the game.
Yeah.
Like we've talked to him. I mean, he locked up Luka Doncic this year. Like, he does a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Just sometimes I think this is not his fault. Doc maybe plays him too much.
Yeah, and sometimes he gets some fouls and stuff. And then, you know, there's just the other issue that, like, if Temple's on the second unit and Chandler's on the second unit, like, when are we playing Jerome? Are we ever going to develop Motley?
Angel Delgado.
There's just so many questions that start to come up if we're going to keep both Chandler and Temple.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot. That's a really good question. Beverly, we got to re-sign Beverly.
Yeah, I think that one's
his market's going to be interesting.
That one's non-negotiable.
from your point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think most people, we got to re-sign Beverly. Should we get into some of these? So we got a question from Devin. It's to Cow. I apologize, Devin. So sorry about that. Would the Clippers
Devin Sitakow?
Yeah,
know.
Devin Sitakow. Would the Clippers be better off with two all-star caliber players or with one superstar? And then for his example, he did Kemba and Jimmy or just Kawhi for that reference.
Okay, well this
is Will's territory right here.
This frame of reference is already kind of incorrect or unrealistic. Kemba and Jimmy, sure, you can say that they're not superstars, but those are two max guys. So I don't see that as being,
like, exposure-wise, they're maybe not superstars, but money-wise, they're the same.
Yeah, I don't really see that as being a realistic goal or opportunity. So let's look at some of the big, big superstars that we could get. So Kawhi averages 27-7-3 with an offensive rating of 119 and a defensive rating of 105.
Ooh.
So he has a plus 18 net player. So that's with one superstar. So getting to that with two guys, a plus 18 net rating is a little difficult to do.
Yeah, that's
especially given if we're not going to use two max spots.
Matt Chong just had a great thing. He said the Clippers as a whole are way better if they just sign Kawhi and keep Gallo and Co.
I agree.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
I think, and as I dug into some of these stats and stuff, I think that the best option is still Kawhi, for sure. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant, who also isn't an unrestricted free agent. He has a player option this year, but
we
for all intents and purposes.
We kind of talked about that yesterday. He's got to opt out, right?
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, he's most likely going to hit the market. He averages 26, 6, and 6, so Offensive rating 121, defensive rating 110. He's a career plus 12 net rating. So lower than Kawhi. Kawhi's defense has been really, really good. Durant, I would say that offensive rating has slipped in his years with the Warriors because he's not utilized to his full potential.
Yeah. Stephen Clay or the other two guys.
Yeah, he could. I don't know. He could just be going off. So I think. And I don't want to set myself up for disappointment, but I think that the best course of action would be rolling out with our lineup that we have right now, plus one superstar. Chonger has a great observation that KD isn't doing Hulu, has live sports commercials, so he doesn't really want the bag.
Doesn't need the money. That's very true. Yeah, I like for me, it's either KD or Durant. I think that'd be fantastic. Both those guys... You can kind of play them in the same position type thing.
Someone's throwing in Kawhi and Kyrie. I'm just going to throw this out there right now. We don't need guards.
We don't need any more guards.
We need someone at the forward position and someone at the five.
Either for me, it's either a absolutely tier one starting center or at least a second tier very good depth guy who can start sometimes.
Definitely.
That would be that kind of is my least want.
Yeah.
Given the center position.
And I like to watch Kyrie. I don't see it fitting, especially because I don't want him to take minutes from Shea.
Yeah, 100%.
So I put together some kind of weird. I got a couple of.
Yeah, live stream seems to agree no Kyrie. I mean, he's great. If we didn't have Shea and Jerome, I obviously put Kyrie on the team because Kyrie and Beverly would be fantastic to watch, but we can't really do that.
Yeah, that's not the world we're living in. So I got a couple of weird, unrestricted free agent combos for you guys.
Yeah.
One is, and no one asked for these, I was just thinking if we strike out in free agency, who are some attainable guys that we could definitely get? And I came up with two combos, one of which is Bojan Bogdanović and Brook Lopez.
Who says no?
Once again, this isn't like a super sexy pairing, and I get that. But Bojan Bogdanović averages 18-4-2, offensive rating 114, defensive rating 110. So he's got like a plus 4 net rating just this season. And I think his net rating is higher than that because his defensive rating is usually better. And then Brook Lopez averages 13-5-1, offensive rating 113, defensive rating a very respectable 103.
Damn.
So those two guys combined would be like a plus 15 net rating.
I'm not mad at that at all.
It's really not unattainable to get both of those guys. Obviously, Brook Lopez is a little older. I would feel pretty comfortable just given the way his game has aged off throwing 4 years at him because I don't think anybody else is going to be doing that. He's 31 currently. And obviously, you know, this would be a contender move where you add vets and kind of hope for the best. So
the spacing is crazy with this team. The
spacing is crazy with Bojan and Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez is knocking down threes at almost a 40% clip.
Insane rate.
Bojan is knocking down threes very quietly at 43%, which is one of the highest percentages in the league.
So you go Shea, Bev, Sham, these two?
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of. I love
Well,
that.
No, I'd probably go Shea, Sham, Bojan, Gallo, Brook is how I would go.
Damn.
Or Bev if you need more defense.
Yeah, someone's saying we're not going to get Lopez with the Bucks. I think Lopez probably stays with the Bucks forever. If they offer him the right money.
I just think I think the big deal is going to come down to contract length. He's a competitor. He wants to keep playing in this league for as long as he can. Obviously, I'm sure he would like to win, but if the Bucks can only realistically offer him a year or two, I do think we could lure him away with a longer contract. But it'd be pretty hard. You know, it's very hard.
What do you got for this next one?
Another weird combo I've got for you guys is Jay Crowder and Big Vooch, Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
So, once again...
That embodies the L.A. Arway vibe, I feel like.
I realize this isn't a sexy combo. I get...
Someone's saying Zoo is better than those two centers. I'm calling it. We need to run plays through him. I respectfully disagree.
I got to respectfully
disagree. We're going to get into what Will's take is on that.
So anyways, Crowder and Vooch. Once again, there's some really solid defense going on there. Two guys that would really space the floor.
The big V.
We would have to trade for Crowder. He has 1 year left on his contract, but I do think that we could get him for a reasonable amount, especially given the assets that we have. And Crowder's stats are pretty solid. He averages 12-5-2, knocks down threes at just under 40%, career net rating plus three.
Ooh, get
some. So, but you combine Jay Crowder, who, I mean, I think Utah won last night because they put him in the starting lineup. Watch the game. He was incredible.
Yeah.
So you combine Crowder with Vucevic, who's currently averaging 21-12-4. Offensive rating 115, defensive rating 103. He's a much better rebounder than Brook Lopez. He's also able to space the floor. So I don't know. I think
I really like that combo.
I think lineup of Shea Sham or Shea Bev with Crowder at the three, Gallo at the four, and Vuce at the five is wild.
Yeah, there's a bunch of man. The mid range for fours and fives in this free agent market is pretty interesting.
Definitely, definitely. And Crowder fits the identity of this team. I think more so than anybody that I've listed. Actually, I weirdly see Bojan fitting in pretty well too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Crowder is like, he's a dog, man. He would fit in with this team.
Someone said that Zubac is better than both those centers. I don't know if that's true. I also could kind of see, I mean, Zubac's a free agent at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what we re-sign him for. It's probably going to be a pretty team-friendly deal. But I think if we re-sign him, he could maybe be used, now that you just mentioned it, in this Crowder thing, in a Crowder trade.
Definitely.
Or something like that.
So people are also saying that we already have guys at the four and the five. I half agree. I mean, I think
they're there.
I don't think that we're finding a better power forward than Gallo. I really don't.
Yeah.
Even given his like shooting slump against the Warriors, I don't think that we're finding a better four. I do think that there are better fives out there, and I do think that there are fives that could, you know, play in a playoff series out there.
Yeah, and if we lose Zoo, I mean, developing Motley or Delgado would be great at the five, but they'd need an outside shot or some, not even an outside shot, a consistent mid-range shot.
Yeah.
This is another free agency question from Big Nate 3242. Fantastic Twitter handle. If we strike out on our targets this season, which seem to be Kawhi and KD, should we consider Butler if he agrees to come on a 1 or 2 year contract?
If we could get him on a 2 year, I think that that's interesting. That's not the real world that we live in, though.
I think, yeah, Butler has said that he kind of wants one more big contract and then he's going to probably retire. So I think he's just looking for the max, which is no disrespect at all to him. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But I would be very bummed out if we gave Jimmy Butler the max.
The only way he's agreeing to a lesser amount of years is if he ends up staying in Philly.
Yeah. Someone's asking, would y'all want Dre? I'm assuming you're like Draymond Green.
I'm interested.
Maybe.
If we could play him at the three, I think that's kind of interesting. Shooting, he doesn't space the floor as well as some other guys that I kind of listed.
Mm-hmm.
The contract is what makes me the most skeptical. But his assist numbers through these playoffs have been so freaking good.
yeah, like, he's killed us.
Dude, he's so good at moving the ball even when he can't shoot. And he has played, you know, when he's locked in, he plays brilliant defense. So I don't think it's the worst idea. I'm too skeptical of the contract for me to want that to work, for me to think that could work out long term.
Someone commented, what would you think of Dwayne Dedman? He was a name that was brought up right around the trade deadline, too. I'd be proud to bring a Dedman in. He's kind of a nice filler piece. And like, I think someone who just asked that was also mentioning we're not developing Delgado or Motley. He's kind of a nice guy, I feel like, who can teach guys stuff. I think we also got to focus on getting those guys in this free agent window, is the like teach some young guys type players.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I've been pushing this idea all episode today of like getting someone at the five.
You and your damn agenda.
Is that you can run out some goofy lineups where you have Motley or Delgado at the four and you still have like a great rebounder and rim protector, and you can kind of, it's almost like a safety net. Because the big thing is like they can train all they want and like vets can talk to these guys all they want. These guys aren't going to get better until they're playing minutes in the NBA on the floor. With this team.
Couldn't agree more. Guys, after this break, we're going to get into a few more questions and a pretty interesting Gallo trade idea. So Ryan Snelling of Clipperholics, may or not be watching right now, shout out Ryan, had an interesting trade idea. It was Gallo and the Miami pick for Steven Adams.
Okay.
Which I was kind of looking at it. I was just looking at Steven Adams' contract yesterday before this take came out and was like, I wonder if we could trade for him, because Steven Adams does fit our needs, which is we need if we're going to play a traditional center role, which we seem to have one on the roster in Zoo, and we had Gortat and Boban, we need a guy who can grab boards and set good screens.
Yeah.
And those are two things that Steven Adams is one of the best at in the league.
So here's my thing. I think the Miami pick plus plus Gallo is too much to give up.
Damn.
I really do. I mean, we know how good he is, but like looking at the numbers, we're only looking at like two more rebounds than Gallo currently gets, and you're taking almost a 10-point deficit in scoring.
To be fair, Westbrook also averages like 13 rebounds.
Yeah.
So that might go up a little bit, but I agree with your point.
That's true. And he's also, you know, through this playoff series, he's looked a lot slower. He looks older than his current age. He does bring a lot of toughness. I'm really interested in this, but once again, he still has over 50, like he has like $60 million essentially over the next 2 years that he's owed. So that, I don't know. It's an interesting one. I guess the Thunder would do it if they wanted to offload money sooner.
Which I don't know if they really need to do.
They do. They have the highest payroll in the league, and they are not going to make it out of the first round.
Yeah, but
year in a row.
I think they should do that. I'm not sure if they will do that.
I see. That's what you mean. Yeah. And I mean, like, in the short term, it still really doesn't help them that much. You know, these contracts are pretty comparable. It'd just be if you wanted to get long term money off your books a year sooner.
Which they don't seem that interested in.
Yeah, I don't know. Gallo straight up. I don't know, man. The storm, like, I like the idea. I just don't know how much of an upgrade it is. It seems like maybe a literal thought. Clipperholic said we should go for Scary Terry. Your thoughts? In my opinion, nah. I'd have to agree.
I don't really know. It's just the guard situation.
We just have so many guards, and honestly, like, Scary had a great playoffs last year, and he shows flashes, but he's not like. He's not some super elite guard, you know. He would never crack our starting lineup, and I just think we're already going to have enough guards that are pretty close to equal, if not better.
Circling back to that Miami pick, unprotected.
Yeah,
completely unprotected pick. Yeah. I forgot that. That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's why. No, there's no way that we could trade.
We've been on the other side of trading an unprotected first round pick that turned into Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
so that's incredible. I forgot that. Wow, my mind is blown.
What about Steven Adams for just that?
That'd be fine. That'd be great. Screw it. No, I had no idea. Man, I can't believe I forgot that was unprotected. Yeah, keep that Miami pick at all costs. Also learned yesterday that Hassan Whiteside older than Enes Kanter.
Oh, wow.
Which I did not know. We got a couple more minutes here. At Yeti Moose, shout out Yeti Moose. He sends us a bunch. Thoughts on these younger free agents, some restricted. I'm just going to run down a few of these. We got a couple minutes left. Lauri Markkanen, Kevon Looney, Trey Lyles. Which of those guys do you like? As to you as well, live stream.
I mean,
I like Lauri, I guess.
I like Lauri.
For the right price, I think he'd be a good contract.
He doesn't fit in with the team.
No. I kind of like his shooting, but his year this year, I think it's so skewed to watch a guy like that play for a team like the Bulls.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he's like a natural kind of four, so I unless like we got rid of Gallo or something.
Or he'd shift to the three, but that doesn't, I don't know if he'd want to do that.
He's a decent enough shooter, it just still feels
he is going to be great. Someone's commenting he's going to be great. He's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Just not sure in this system.
Yeah, I also don't think there's any way the Bulls let him walk. And he's restricted. True. Like, so I've done this before, but like the percentage of restricted free agents who end up signing to a new team is something like it's below 12%. It's really, really low.
Damn. I like Kevon Looney. I mean, he's trying to show that he can kill us this playoffs if we kind of let him,
I guess. Thanks.
For the right price, I'd be okay with that. If we end up moving off from Zubats.
Kevonny looks better in the Warrior system, period.
If Zubats left, I wouldn't be mad at Maggie bringing it in, but I don't know. That's if Zubac leaves.
Yeah.
And then what was the last one? Trey Lyles.
Meh.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest. These are moves where it's like, I think we would do these if everything else didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's been solid on
favors.
Denver.
Someone just commented that. I'm not mad at that idea. He's a power forward. I don't know.
I don't like the favors fit. Lyles.
He's not playing in the playoffs, so I don't know if I want him.
Lyles also, I don't know, man. I like the idea. It'd be nice to have some depth, but I think we still, once again, like, the main points that we need are at the forward position.
Someone's commenting, I'm V-high on Zubac developing with their young guys this offseason. I hope so, man. If he has a great productive summer, bring that man back 100%.
Yeah.
Guys, that about wraps it up for our live stream. We're going to hang out, or for the episode recording, we're going to hang out on the live stream for a little bit. Thanks for sending us all your questions.
Oh, yeah, always, guys.
Kind of a chill pre-Game 5 environment. Tomorrow, we're going to have a huge preview of Game 5.
Yeah.
We're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday, and just some general Clippers pontificating. If you're listening, please check us out on the Himalaya app.
For sure.
Check out all the Locked On Network stuff. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.